You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks again for joining me. We have lots to talk about today and a fantastic guest in the interview room. I think you will really enjoy her. Let's talk about what's happening in law enforcement today and in our country. And the first thing that I've got to talk about is Colin Kaepernick. This moron is in the news again because he's being enriched. He's being enriched for his lack of support of the national anthem. He, of course, was the kneeler in chief, if you will. He's the one who started this movement of protesting the law enforcement, quote, excessive use of force, unquote, for the false narrative of racist cops indiscriminately killing young black men. We all know that it's nonsense. We all know that it's not true, that it's a fake narrative that started with the great lie of Ferguson of hands up, don't shoot. But that isn't stopping the Kaepernicks of the world and the NFL kneelers who have brought this dishonor on themselves as they follow this cretin Kaepernick. And now he is being awarded untold millions of dollars by Nike, who is hiring him to be their face for their latest Just Do It 30th anniversary ad campaign. Just Do It. Just do what, Nike? Just show disrespect for the American law enforcement officer and for the national anthem? Is that what you're espousing? You know, some of you know this and some of you do not, but I am the national spokesman for Blue Lives Matter. You can check us out at bluelivesmatter.blue. That is our news and information website. And I gave this quote for the boycott that we are calling for against Nike. Here is the quote that was attributed to me, reference this travesty. The choice of Colin Kaepernick by Nike to be the face of their 30th anniversary campaign is an affront to every American law enforcement officer, Blue Lives Matter national spokesman Randy Sutton said. Nike's pandering to Kaepernick's brand of politically correct hate mongering against those who serve this nation behind a badge, and the disrespect he has sown to the symbols of love of our country reveals how corrupt Nike has become. When an organization is more concerned with profits than with the values of justice and service that thousands have given their lives to preserve, they reveal what they truly stand for: greed and dishonor. And that's my quote on the article on Blue Lives Matter website. If you believe, as I do, that this false narrative that has been perpetuated by Colin Kaepernick and other members of the NFL, and now the politicians, of course, who pander to the political narrative, it's time to say adios to Nike. I wouldn't buy Nike underwear at this point. And the fact that they care so little for the important issues of this country and instead have chosen to be divisive and to take the side of a group of individuals who have shown such serious disrespect, I think that says everything you need to know about corporate greed. Nike, adios. That's what I say. That's only one story in the news. There's so much to talk about this week. I really wish I had more time, but let's get right to it. First of all, I want to talk about a jury in California, of course. You know, it seems like every time that I'm talking to you about some idiocy involving the criminal justice system, it's either New York or it is California. Every now and then Minnesota gets in there too. But this one is a beauty. Oh, this is going to make you just want to go for the blood pressure meds. So here's the headline: jury awards payday to family of man shot while actively stabbing officer. Yeah, okay. So you're not going to believe this, but a jury has awarded $2.75 million to the family of a guy named Sonny Lamb, who was fatally shot in 2013. Why was he fatally shot? Oh, because he was plunging scissors into the body of a police officer. Yeah, uh-huh. And according to the jury, the officer used, quote, unreasonable force by shooting him one too many times. You can't make this up. Now, this happened in Los Baños. And the incident took place at 3 p.m. 2013 when 80-year-old Tan Lamb called police to report that he had been assaulted by his 43-year-old son, Sonny Lamb. And the police get there. Sonny Lamb has mental health problems. He's threatened to kill a neighbor as well. And a police officer gets there. And he doesn't know how nutty this guy is. So the officer approaches him, attempts to convince him to come outside. And then the suspect refused and grabbed a pair of scissors, stabbing him. The officer drew his firearm, and they had a struggle between the officer and the suspect over the gun. Now the suspect is trying to fight for the gun as well. And so he's stabbing him, and he's trying to grab the gun, and the officer shoots him. And he shoots him twice. The suspect is dead. Well, what is the jury? I mean, first of all, who's got the audacity to file suit against a police department when a guy is stabbing a cop? But because it's California, the unthinkable happens, and the jury finds that the officer shouldn't have fired more than once because that's excessive. When I say the word unbelievable, it's unbelievable. They award this guy's family $2.7 million because he was only 30% responsible for his own actions. I don't know where they came up with that, but that's... So that's one jury. Now, also in that same vein, it was revealed just a couple days ago that in another jury settlement, that this time down in Missouri, oh, this is a beauty too. So a few years ago, a police officer observed a drug deal, gave pursuit. The suspect had a gun. He shot the suspect. He killed the suspect. And there was just a huge outcry. Huge outcry that this officer, you know, executed this poor drug dealer. Of course, found out he had a whole bunch of dope in the car. And he was running from the police because he was a dope dealer. The officer's name was Jason Stockley. And if you've listened to this program for any length of time, you would know that I had Jason on this radio show after he was acquitted of murder. Yeah, years after he was exonerated from any wrongdoing in the shooting death of the suspect, Anthony Lamar Smith, he was arrested, and he was arrested falsely years later by trumped-up evidence which was shown to be untrue. By a politically motivated prosecutor. And this is fairly recent, right? So they arrest this poor officer. They try to convict him of murder. He's found not guilty in a very, very short trial. And now the family, who, by the way, has already gotten close to $1 million after this suspect tried to run over the police officer, was armed. They already got $1 million, but now they figure they're going back to the well for a second payday. And now they're asking for $5 million. $5 million to a drug dealer who tried to kill a police officer, was killed in return, and they want more money. So what? And you know what? I would say there's no way in the world. But after just reading this $2.7 million verdict, who the hell knows what another crazy jury is going to do? So this is taking place. I'm going to keep my eye on it, and I will be reporting back to you as events unfold. You know, while we're talking about political correctness and the insanity of it, two more political pandering politicians have made the news recently. The first that I'm going to talk about is Florida State Representative Matt Wilhite. Now, this brilliant fellow publicly blamed a 35-year police veteran for getting injured by a distracted driver while he was directing traffic. He's blaming the officer because he shouldn't have been out there to begin with, that he should have been inside the school. What the hell is going on? This guy's a complete idiot. So in this, he's given a presentation. Now, this police officer, he's a school resource officer down in Florida. It works for Palm Beach County. He served as a school resource officer for the past 12 years. He had 20 years on the job before that, more than 20 years, in New York City. And in a Facebook post, this state representative accused Officer Keating of, quote, not doing his job as a school resource officer, and said he should have been working to, quote, protect the entire school campus and our children, not worry about getting cars out of the parking lot as he does every day. And then he goes on to say, it's too bad this mom was a distracted driver, not paying attention, and on her cell phone. However, maybe if the cop was doing his job as a school resource officer and not directing traffic, he wouldn't have gotten hit. Are you kidding me? What kind of moron comes up with it? He blames the victim. I wonder what he would do with a rape victim. Hey, you know, you shouldn't have worn that skirt. You're the bad guy here. He's going to blame a police officer who's doing something that clearly part of his duties directing traffic, and he's going to find some type of nefarious conduct here. I don't know. I'd like to get a few minutes alone with State Representative Wilhite and talk to him about what real leadership is about, and you know what not the blame game here. But why we're talking about politically correct politicians? Oh, jeez. Here's a beauty. So I don't know. Some of you are familiar with what's called the lip sync challenge, and this is police agencies around the country are doing and posting lip sync videos of their officers, and some of which are just phenomenal. They put a lot of time and effort into it, and the reason is it wants to show that cops are human, that they're real people with real talents and have a sense of humor. And so they've been doing these, and some of these are great, and it's kind of, they call it the lip sync challenge. So small agencies, big agencies, there's just tons of these out there, and they're funny as hell to watch, and there's some great stuff. So there's a small town in Pennsylvania, York, Pennsylvania, and they do a lip sync video. And the chief, you know, this is with the approval of the chief. They do this video, and it's a parody about cops and donuts. Okay, so they're doing something that is funny. All it does is show law enforcement in a positive light. So it's and there's apparently a donut store in town where they did some of the filming, and this donut store. So they finished the filming. They're gonna show this video at a town event. And the mayor of this city looks at the video before they do it and loses his mind. He tells the chief, "You are not allowed to show that video." Why? Was it because there was conduct in there that was disparaging to the city or to law enforcement? No. It's because he didn't like the politics of the owner of the donut store. Yeah, you heard me right. He believed that the donut store was pro-Trump and therefore was divisive. And so therefore, he ordered them to not show the video. You gotta be kidding me. And then, to make matters worse, he brings in the ACLU and the NAACP all to basically shore up his stance, saying that this store or this business doesn't support the right causes, that it's too political and too divisive because they support Donald Trump. You know, I've heard of some nonsense. This mayor is a complete idiot. I can't even say it. It's my radio show, so I can't say it. But his name is Michael Helfrich. And he says, this is not even humorous. There's no humor in it. I just read that he's a Democrat. Oh, my goodness. That's shocking. He ordered the chief to have it removed. Now, if I were the chief, I would tell him to go stuff it. But, of course, the chief can't do that because in these little small towns and even some of these larger cities, the mayor can fire him. So, mayor, great job. You're an idiot. I think that what you're doing is absolutely divisive. It's not the police. It's not the donut store. It's you. You're an idiot. And there's so much more I'd like to talk about, but we're kind of running out of time. And we're going to be taking a walk into the interview room. Thank you for tuning in again this week. I hope that you like what you hear. And you can contact me at randy@americaoutloud.com. If you're a police officer or if you are a spouse or a family member, one of the things that is very necessary to help save lives are the ballistic vests and the body armor that police officers wear. The problem with that is that they're uncomfortable. They're hot, especially in the summertime. They get wet, they get sweaty, they get nasty, and it's part of the deal. I mean, you gotta wash them, you gotta take care of them, that's one of the problems with having a ballistic vest. There is a new product, and I kind of like it. They call it StinkyVest.com. That's the company, and they arrest odors. I love it. And this is really good stuff. And it's not, you don't have to just use it for vests. It's good for all kinds of odors, hampers, the whole bit. And it's really effective stuff. It won't harm your skin. It's really a necessity. If you wear ballistic body armor, or if you want to use it for just home use, this is some really good stuff. And it's only available at StinkyVest.com. Go take a look at it. It's put out by a law enforcement organization, and it eliminates odors without harmful chemicals, pet odors, the whole bit. So check it out. That's StinkyVest.com. See their products, and it is worthwhile. To all my active duty law enforcement out there, as well as if you are a business owner, you need security, I want you to listen to this message. This is really important because there is an organization out there. It's a company called Law Enforcement Specialists, and they're out of Arizona, but they have a full nationwide reach for employing off-duty officers for security and traffic assignments. You know, almost every law enforcement officer I know works, they call them extra jobs, in order to make ends meet. Because let's face it, we're not exactly paying our law enforcement officers a whole lot of money. So they have to do extra jobs in order to make ends meet and put food on the table and have a couple vacations. So law enforcement specialists, they have agreements with all kinds of police agencies around the country. You have to just contact them, and they will put you to work. So if you are a law enforcement officer, you want to work extra assignments, these jobs that come up, sometimes through your department, but you can get more of them through law enforcement specialists. So check them out at offdutypoliceofficers.com. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com. And if you are in need of security, if you are in need of hiring law enforcement officers for security or traffic assignments, give them a call as well. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com. Phone number is 855-976-4757. And I can tell you from firsthand experience that these folks know what they're doing and they are dedicated to assisting law enforcement officers. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I have a very special guest with me in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. His name is Kevin Jackson. He's probably familiar to you if you watch Fox News. He's a Fox News contributor. He also is a talk show host, as well as a best-selling author of several books. And now we're going to talk to him about his latest endeavor, which is the production of a film called Bleeding Blue. Kevin, thanks so much for being on Blue Lives Radio.
Hey, Randy, appreciate you having me on to talk about the film. And as I always tell people, you don't get much better than your introductions in life. So thanks for the kind words.
My pleasure. You know, well, you're are making a difference in this country. I mean, I know what it's like to be on Fox and to get yourself out there, but you're doing it in a great many ways. You're hitting all the mediums. You're an author. You're a talk show host. You're on the television news, and now the producer of a film that is really, really centered about controversy facing this country, and that is officer-involved shootings. So first of all, before we get into the film, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you've got a background in electrical engineering. How did you get into the media aspect of everything?
Yeah, there's a good question. Who would have ever thought that a kid that went to college to get degrees in electrical engineering, computer science, and math would be producing films? Pardon me?
Were you a nerd?
Yes, I was a nerd. But I was one of those nerds, Randy, that was a good athlete nerd. You know, I love chess, but I also love to, you know, go mix it up. I was a martial artist as a kid as well, and ended up having a pretty amazing martial arts career, learning multiple disciplines and things like that. I just never wanted to take any crap. And I'm cleaning it up for your audience, but I never wanted to take any crap from anybody. And I think they often ask me, Kevin, were you in the military or were you ever a cop? And I go, no, I was neither, but I trained them because I love the mindset of people that will put themselves in harm's way, because Randy, you know this, it takes a special person to say, I'm going to go jump in front of that book. You know, I'm going to go jump in the middle of that fight or that scuffle or whatever it is that's going on. And while everybody else is running the other way, you're running in the other direction. You're running towards it. And I've always been that guy. And I don't know why I didn't end up in the military or law enforcement. I guess I kicked so many people's butts in the ring, I never cared about it. But you know, the reason why when I left management consulting, which was one of my, that was my eighth career change. Well, my seventh career change was as a management consultant to the world's largest companies. So I transitioned from you know, designing supercomputers to ultimately, when I left the standard corporate world, I was a management consultant, traveling all over the world, solving problems for businesses. And when I got in 2008, when I knew Barack Obama or Hillary was going to win, and I predicted Obama, I knew the world had changed dramatically from what I knew. And sure enough, fast forward to 8 years of Obama and look at what he did to the police, the very people that protect us. And don't misunderstand me, I know cops do bad things from time to time, but overwhelmingly, these are people that are helping, you know, the public at large, and certainly black folks disproportionately. And Barack Obama's calling, saying things like they acted stupidly. And yeah, he's got, right, you know, Black Lives Matter putting a target on their back. So that's what got me to do the film.
Well, you know, you have clearly identified the transitional moment, I believe, when the world started changing for the American law enforcement officer. You know, some people, as you and I had discussed off radio, many people believe it was Ferguson that was that moment. But in reality, the watershed moment, I think, was when we realized that our president had a strong bias against law enforcement. And that was the moment, right, we just talked about.
Yeah, the Gates incident. It was funny when we started, we were doing the arc. All films have what's called an arc. What are you trying to get across from beginning that arcs over that you kind of close at the end? In music, they call it a resolve. And so my producer goes, well, Kevin, it was Ferguson. I said, no, it was. He says, that's what started it. I go, that's not what started it. It was Gates. And he thought about it and went, whoa, you're so right. And I said, it was a very small thing. But when Barack Obama uttered the words that the cop acted stupidly, and went on to talk about how policing impacted Black America, he opened the floodgates for excuses from Blacks. He opened the floodgates to attacking police and calling them all racist. And here's a guy, Randy, that had an opportunity in that moment to really fixate. You know, he had everybody fixated on it, and he could have said something very simple that, we believe in law and order. I'm not here to, you know, to be a leader of Black folks. I'm here to be a leader of America. And what Professor Gates did falls in, you know, it flies in the face of rational thinking. And the fact that he knows me is of no consequence. He acted stupidly. That police officer did his job. The neighborhood watch people did their job. And the only people who didn't do their job was Citizen Gates. And that would have set the tone for everything that we're talking about here, and this movie doesn't get made. But he didn't do that because Barack Obama is the biggest racist on the planet. As a black man, I will tell you that is a fact. He foments racism, and he's allowing the I call it the muscle memory of racism continues to this day. This kid got fired. I don't know if you saw this story. This driver for NASCAR got fired because his dad, 30 years ago in a radio interview, used the N-word. And said he didn't realize what it meant when he said it. And that statement got this guy to lose a contract. He wasn't even born at the time. And I call that generational racism.
That's an incredible story. I did read it, and I had to shake my head at the same time. I was going, where is this insanity going? This liberal mindset where they can seem to rationalize irrational behavior if it's anywhere attached to the label of racist.
The psychology of liberalism, outside of the fact that they're lunatics, the psychology of it is they don't like to be wrong. And think about it this way, Randy. Let's say you spit out a statistic, and I say, Randy, that's factually wrong. Your instinct is to say, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? Because you believe you're right. Now, here's the way I have to talk to liberals. I tell them this all the time. I say, look, you can be as defiant and as passionate about your position as you want. But one of us is in the industry of politics, and you, sir, are a banker. You know, or you drive cabs. So you tell me who's a professional. If I try to tell you as a cab driver which way to drive, or, you know, how to avoid traffic in Manhattan, you should tell me to shut up because you know your job. But when I talk to you about politics, you need to shut up and listen. And the problem is, people have become so spoon-fed with an ideology, with something that says, oh, racism exists. Racism is so anecdotal in this country, it's ridiculous. Look, I grew up as a kid in the 60s. I grew up in the South. My first book talks all about it. And I'll tell you this, my black grandmother, who worked for a wealthy family and had carte blanche with their credit, she could go in any store she wanted, buy as much as she wanted, say, put it on my tab, and everybody went, yes, ma'am, Ms. Thompson. And you would think my grandmother was Elvis Presley's mother, the way she was treated when she walked in these stores. And that was funny. It was an eye-opening, you know, I'm a kid of the 1960s going, whoa, they're treating this black woman with more respect than the mayor's wife. So don't try to convince me that I don't know what's going on. It is not about race. It's about, you know, who you represent yourself to be and character. And in some cases, let's face it, it's about money. But even with money, you can be stupid. It's about character. My grandmother was presented herself as the ability to pay any bill that came to her, but she comported herself with class. And that's why there wasn't a store in that town that didn't treat her like she was the queen when she walked in. And I swear, I remember the stories like it was yesterday. And just looking and going, man, what is all this racism? I'm 8 years old going, what is all this racism? Right? So it's ridiculous. And we allow people to buy into this stuff, Randy. Your audience listening to it, the police that are called racist, that get spit on, all the things that we talk about in the film, there's nothing racist about these people. We are creatures of circumstance. In other words, if all you do is cover the inner cities and you see nothing but black crime, you're gonna say, hey, I got to be careful around black folks because I see a lot of black crime. But I'll put it to you this way. Chinese cops in China, where when I lived there for a year, they weren't looking for me. They were looking for Chinese thugs, not black thugs. So it isn't a DNA thing. It's a factor of where you are. And, you know, and what your surroundings are that you know, makes you feel a particular way. And you do form your biases, but those biases will save your life.
Well, I mean, let's face it, everyone has a personal bias. But, you know, when I often talk about what's called blue bias. And that is that you know, people who evince such noble characteristics, they think that they are, you know, they don't have any prejudices or biases, and then they come out and they spout hateful things about a person they don't know simply because they wear a blue uniform. And to me, that is the ultimate irony here and the hypocrisy of many of these thought processes, that same people that are saying, hey, you can't treat me like that, they will then treat another human being disrespectfully, not because of who they are, but because of the color of their uniform.
Of a bias. Yeah. Well, let me say this real quickly. First of all, you know, your audience will learn a lot about me. I'm going to give you a real truism. I am prejudiced, bigoted. I will profile you based on your race, your shoe size. I profile everything about you, okay? And let me tell you why. Because that is the nature of human beings. I don't know if you have kids. I have four sons. When they bring a girl home, I profile her. Is she good enough to be with my kids? If I had daughters, I'd profile the guys. Are you good enough to be with my daughter? When I'm talking to my sister, I profile the guys to find out, are you good enough to be with my sister? When I'm looking for new friends, I profile who you are, how you behave, etc. I profile my job that I wanted to work at. I did a lot of study on the management team and so on and so forth. I profiled my clients. If you don't profile, you're an idiot. You're not using the senses God gave you so you can understand the world. So here's what the irony is that we have been made to think that having a bias, a bigot, some bigoted attitude or a profile makes you really, oh, look at you bad human being. That's what makes you human. And I'll tell you something. When I go in the woods, I profile that there are bears there, and I try to avoid them.
That makes sense to me. Well, you know, you've got a tremendously varied background. You clearly have studied the human condition. You write about it. You speak about it on the news. You're passionate about it. What was it that inspired you to create a film? By the way, this film has not been released yet, but it is going to be released. But tell us about the film and what it was that inspired you to take this avenue.
Okay, well, fixing wrongs is it in a nutshell. So most of the kids I grew up with are old country boys, you know, and I grew up in this little town. I grew up on a 25,000 acre cattle ranch, and all my friends, for the most part, 98% of my friends were white cowboys and ranchers and farmers. And so, you know, when I moved to the city, everybody told me these people were racist. And I'm going, they're not racist. They listen to different music. They have they chew tobacco and spit in a cup and do some stuff that you may find disgusting, but they're not racist. And they were telling me they were racist. Well, when I, you know, fast forward, what are they telling us about the cops during the Obama years? I've been stopped by more law enforcement officers than you can shake a stick at. I've never had a bad experience where I felt like, oh my gosh, my life was in danger. I knew why they stopped me, generally speaking. I was speeding or, you know, whatever. But I knew what was going on. And I treated them with respect, and I went home, and there's nothing to be said about it. But watch videos of kids today. They're completely disrespectful. They don't care. They're like rogue elephants. You know, they just go out, you know, trampling down, you know, farms and fences and don't give a crap. And so my thing was, here we are taking people who put their lives in danger for us, and we're allowing a narrative, a fake narrative, to put these people in harm's way when it's already a dangerous job. And now we've made it, geometrically, if not exponentially, more dangerous because somebody wants to believe and hands up, don't shoot, the lie of hands up, don't shoot. And, you know, he shot that man, you know, when he had his hands up. All that was a blatant lie. And so there was no, was Hollywood going to make this film? Heck no. So what does the film tell you? The film, number one, here's the biggest thing I can tell you, folks. And by the way, it opens on September the 7th. Go to bleedingbluemovie.com. And here's the thing. Even if you can't go, there's a thing on there that says buy a cop a ticket. Buy a cop a ticket. We will put that ticket, make it available for a screening, or put a poster in the precinct. But the when I made the film, there's a revelation about Ferguson, Missouri that nobody knows that comes out in that film that will blow your mind. It's going to blow the mind of people. They're going to go, holy crap, did Obama's Justice Department really just do what I heard in this film? And then we talk about police officers in their real situations in the minority community over there to help, and you just go through their lives and watch, you know, hear their stories and reenactments of this stuff, and in some cases raw footage that will absolutely make you understand this is a heck of a dangerous job and you'd never do it. And 99% of the people in this country wouldn't become a police officer if you put a gun to their head. So when it's an hour and 36 minutes of absolute thrill ride, I promise you people, guys, cops will be crying when they leave this film, and others will be overjoyed that somebody had the balls to make it.
I can't wait to see it personally. Where is it going to be premiering?
So we're in 6 locations. If you go to the website, there's, you know, bleedingbluemovie.com. It says theaters, and there's 6 locations to start. But here's what I want, Randy. We're really grassroots doing this because, you know, it cost me everything I had to produce the film. So now distribution is where the real money is. And Hollywood loves you because you're just a sucker when it comes to distribution, because they're gangsters with these theaters. But anyway, what we're hoping is that in every location where somebody hears this radio show, somebody says, Kevin, I want to sponsor. I want to put it, they call it four-walling. You put it in a theater, you know, get sponsors, have as many police officers that can go or law enforcement officers that can go as they can. And we do that in another 50-100 locations. And then Hollywood can't ignore it. Because here's what I'll tell you. We will open on September, the weekend of September the 7th. We will do better than the top we'll be easily in the top five grossing films that week, and we'll probably be number one or number two. Now, you would think that would get you wide distribution, but Hollywood and these leftists, they don't want a film like this shown. And I could tell you stories where they've tried to poo-poo on it, whatever else. Here's what I'll tell your audience, Randy. If they go see this film, they will come out of there saying it is the best documentary. If it's not the best, it'll be in the top two or three documentaries they've ever seen in their lives. That's what I can promise you.
I have no doubt that you're telling exactly the way it is, Kevin. And I know from my own experiences with the Hollywood crowd, just what a world that is, man.
Cesspool.
It is a cesspool. It is a cesspool. I don't think that there is anyone in Hollywood that knows how to tell the truth.
No. It's all a bias. And what's funny about it is one of my friends is a big-time producer in Hollywood. I won't say his name, but we're good buddies. Made a lot of films. He's worked with Tom Cruise, all the biggest actors. And he says to me, Kevin, he goes, you want me to write you a hit film or a hit TV show? He goes, okay, so I'll put you, he goes, I'm going to bring you in. You're a black Christian. He goes, I'm going to put you with a Muslim man. You guys are going to be gay. And, you're going to have to keep your relationship a secret because of the Muslim thing and all this other stuff. And while he's telling me the story, I'm cracking up with the scenarios he's creating for me and my new Muslim lover, right? and so we get to the end of the thing, and I can't quit laughing. And he goes, no, Kevin, I'm serious. He goes, we do that show. You are a star in Hollywood. You're getting awards. You become you're the belle of the ball. For the next 5 years, you'll get movie roles out the wazoo. He wasn't even joking. He's like, no, man. Look, I don't know if you know this. Wonder Woman's coming out. She's going to be a lesbian. The TV show for Wonder Woman. They got to make her a lesbian because she can't just be Wonder Woman. You know, Linda, what's her name? Linda Carter?
Yeah.
The chick that I loved when I was growing up and thought I would marry her, you know, when I was a kid. No, she's got to be a lesbian now, Randy.
Hollywood has gone Looney Tunes. There's no doubt about it. You know, I had an experience. Let me put it that way. I appeared on the National Geographic channel during a debate with Michael Moore and a black filmmaker who had done a documentary about police racism in a particular community in Louisiana, and they had this, and the whole thing was based on some crime statistics, some arrest statistics that were just crazy as far as the number of people arrested and the majority of those people being black. And so, I mean, it was a crazy number. So before I appeared on the show, I reached out to the police chief, and he told me that he had been interviewed for this documentary, and he told me that the entire statistical reference was false, that it was the number of charges, not the number of arrests. But they didn't want to believe this. So I had this very heated debate with Michael Moore, and I decimated him. But when they did the editing, they made him look like he was the hero.
Oh, wow.
It was something that I should have expected, but I thought that I thought Nat Geo at least had some.
Well, let me tell you what you always do, just for the audience's sake. What you always do when you do that is you say, I'm filming everything that we do. If you cut this in a different way, I reserve the right to release the actual documentary the way it's done.
I wish I had had that advice before I stepped that studio. I really do. but you can tell the truth, but it doesn't mean that the media is going to allow the truth. And that's
they don't report it. Look, we are in a fake news extravaganza right now. And it goes back to what I said earlier. leftists don't want to be wrong. There is a guttural response, a psychological response. It's a chemical that gets released in your brain when you come to the realization that you're wrong. And it sucks. It doesn't feel good. It's like, for a guy, it isn't quite like getting kicked in the naughty bits, but it's pretty bad. It's the mental equivalent of that. And so guess what? We've told them you're wrong. I've looked at every Black Lives Matter BS statistic on the planet. It's nonsense.
I don't know if you have heard the latest madness out of Ferguson with the...
The lady's going to run for office out there. And
well, that's one. She has defeated the district attorney, and now they want to... Her platform is that she wants to now charge Darren Wilson with...
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this because Chief Jackson and I talk all the time. We're friends. And he says he and Darren Wilson are being sued by the lying scumbag that said that it was hands up, don't shoot. They're being sued by him.
You can't make this insanity up. You really can't. It's shocking. Yeah. Well, there are now protesters that are protesting the convenience store where Michael Brown did the strong arm robbery, and they're demanding all kinds of insanity, like closing the store for 3 days, hiring a black owned security company. I mean, there's a list of demands that you look at and you go, what planet do these people live on? But this is
ultimately what's going to happen is this is a new reality. But guess what? And black neighborhood, that guy is taking a huge risk to put his store in that neighborhood to begin with. Okay. Yes. I don't know if your audience has ever been to one of these stores. It's mostly cops, so it probably is. I mean, they know what I'm talking about. Everything behind plexiglass, you know, the guy has to go. When you want something, you point it out and go, get me that and that and that. He goes and grabs it.
Right.
You give him the money. He puts the stuff through a door, you know, through under a thing for you to get to. It isn't like going into Walmart and going down an aisle and grabbing the stuff you need. In these inner city stores, these places look like quite frankly, they look like they're dealing drugs because it's very protected. I mean, I'm talking bulletproof plexiglass. And people think I'm kidding. This is where I live in St. Louis, where people don't understand, higher crime rate than Chicago. And you go in these little bodegas, man, and these people are like, oh, shoot. They got protection cameras at all angles. And I'm not talking about them fuzzy cameras. They really want to know who a brother is when you go in there, right? So that's the nature of it. And why are we glossing over this? Because somebody wants to make black folks feel good. Look, we know what goes on in black neighborhoods. My dad was in San Quentin prison most of my life. I know exactly what he did. He deserved to be there. He deserved 5 lifetimes in San Quentin. He only went for what they caught him doing. So don't try to talk me out of what we deal with here. And this film is a real life look without exonerating police. We have a cop in the movie we call him the Mafia cop. And he tells you, I was a crooked cop. And he explains his story. We don't gloss over that either. But we also talk about the real lives of these folks, what they do every day. And I swear, if you guys go see this, if you promote the film, if you know somebody sponsors a location, you got some pro cop people that want to be a part of the next release, get them in contact with us, because it's one thing to make a beautiful piece of art, it's another for it to reach the audience that you want. And Hollywood does not want this scene. The left doesn't want this scene. They are one newspaper article called me a right wing radical. Because, and I'm going, really? A kid that grew up in the ghetto, who went and got his, you know, who was on a scholarship guy at a Southern Methodist University, not only for athletics, but got my scholarship for academics, graduates, goes to work in corporate America in a multitude of amazing jobs, raised 4 amazing sons, and, you know, living a good life. I ain't going to prison. Not now that Obama's out, I won't go to prison. So, and here's people calling me, I'm a right-wing radical because I make a film that says, look, you're doing a disservice to the black community, because if I was a cop, I would tell black people, you know what, this donut and this cup of coffee, you can wait. I'm just going to continue. I'll respond in a few minutes. I'm not going to respond right away. Not the way you treat me. So this is a public safety announcement that says, I want cops to go into black neighborhoods and know they're going to be greeted with respect and get help. I want blacks in those neighborhoods to know that cops are their friends and stop being antagonistic. I want parents to take responsibility for their sons and daughters and tell them to stop, you know, the nonsense against the law enforcement officers who are strictly there to do their job. Because the minute, every time I would get stopped by a police officer, I would say to myself, Kevin, you're going to make it so much easier on the next guy, the next black guy to get stopped, because I'm going to agree with everything the guy says. Yes, sir, no problem. I'm not going to lie. I was speeding. I don't know how fast, but I was speeding. You know, things like that. I want him to go, you know what, this dude was, you know, whatever preconceived notions I had, they're gone, and they soften just a little bit. Not so much that he gets killed, but, you know, by letting his guard down, but at least enough to know, you know what, when I see a black guy, I don't have to be on high alert. I don't have to have my hand on my weapon and things like that. So that's the goal.
Well, it's, and that is a lofty goal, my friend. But I can't wait to see it. Once again, the movie is Bleeding Blue.
Correct.
And they can go to bleedingbluemovie.com to get information.
Correct. Trailer's
about
on there.
Right. And it's a great trailer. I mean, it's very compelling.
Thank you.
I can't
Thank
wait
you.
To see the film. And how do people contact you if they want to for a wall of film?
They can. Everything's on the site. It was, we say, if you want to sponsor a location, and there's a whole form there. Melissa, who is she's a executive producer of the film. She, her information is on the website, so they can contact her. And we love. I'm just telling you, we love to get people to four wall it. We love people. Some people are doing big fundraisers around it, and then donating part of the proceeds to their local law enforcement, things like that. What I hear now is movie premieres of a sexy new fundraiser. So here we are. We're think of us as a movie in a bikini on Sports Illustrated. All right.
That sounds great. Kevin, thank you so much for everything that you're doing to bring our country together, and for doing what you're doing for law enforcement. I appreciate it. I know that the American law enforcement officer appreciates it. And thanks again for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thank you.
Those of you who have followed me for any length of time know that in addition to being a 33-year law enforcement officer, I'm also an author. I've written four books: True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them; A Cop's Life; True Blue to Protect and Serve; and my latest book, which was actually just released only a couple weeks ago, is The Power of Legacy: Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. It's a much different book than what I've written before, but it is truly an inspirational book, because I had traveled the country talking to people who have done amazing things with their lives, people like Frank Shankwitz, who, when he was an Arizona State Trooper, created the Make-A-Wish Foundation, Gary Sinise, who's done amazing things for military and law enforcement, and a number of people, some names you know, some names you don't, but this book is full of inspiration. Changed my life doing this book. Now, here's something I'm going to share with you. You know, I have a lot of Facebook followers, you know, more than 25,000 of them. But Facebook is not allowing me to share the message of my book. I think they call it shadow banning, and it's very, very disturbing. So I'm going to ask your help. First of all, I would love for you to go to Amazon.com. It's available on Kindle. It's available on audiobook, and of course in hardcover and softcover. I would love for you to pick up a copy of this book, share it with your children, because it is full of inspiration about how everyone can become a personal hero. But I'd also ask you to share this information with your friends on Facebook and other social media, because I'm fighting an uphill battle. Shadow banning is a real thing. I go to share it with my followers, and it keeps on getting unapproved, saying it's too political. There's nothing political about this book. It's about good people. I'd ask for you to share this message. I need your help to get this message out, because this book can change the world. When you talk about becoming a personal hero, you change the life of one person. You add to that person's life, and you change the world. So if you would, check me out on Amazon.com. All my books are available there. But the Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's most inspired people. And I appreciate your support. For those of you who are involved in investigative work, there is an amazing software that you've got to take a look at from Blue Light LLC. And Blue Light is a company owned by a retired Special Forces Sergeant Major. He is a strong supporter of law enforcement. And this software is amazing. It is incredible for conspiracy investigations, narcotics investigations, homicide. It's called Analyst Notebook. And it's a product that has been used very, very successfully in bringing down a lot of bad guys. The reason the Special Forces Sergeant Major got involved in it is because he used to use it in Middle East for discovering IED, improvised explosive devices, originators, and their networks. But it's great for civilian police work. So check it out, Blue Light LLC's Analyst Notebook, and it is an amazing product. Check it out.
End of Watch with Randy Sutton.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we pay our respects to the men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice and given their lives in the line of duty. I have one name to read this week. He is FBI Special Agent in Charge, Brian Cruz, Washington, D.C. office. Brian Cruz, who is a Special Agent in Charge, died in the line of duty on June 10th when he succumbed to cancer that developed following his service to the World Trade Center attacks on September 11th, 2001. Special Agent Cruz, a 27-year veteran of the Bureau, began his career in 1988 as a file clerk, and he ended his career as a Special Agent in Charge. Special Agent, Supervisory Special Agent Brian Cruz of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, end of watch, was June 2018. May he rest in peace. I want to thank you for listening once again to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this radio broadcast, podcast that is heard and downloaded, is also on Live Talk Radio. It reaches about 200,000 people, has about 200,000 listens on Live Talk Radio, and about 100,000 downloads on podcast. A large law enforcement audience, of course, and people that support us. So if you are an advertiser and you want to reach this audience, I would ask you to contact me at randylsutton@live.com. That's randylsutton@live.com. And we can talk about advertising your business on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. Thanks again. We'll see you next week.